Y'all, are y'all listening this morning? Because you have to know when I'm going to call you to do something. Yeah. And Sammy, you too. We're all kids at heart, is what I've learned over the years. We're all big kids. We're just in bigger bodies, but we're kids. We like to have fun. We like to shout. We like to be rowdy. And a lot of times we don't like to be told what to do. I see that with the kids. I want to just do a review just real quickly because of what I'm going to go into. We know in Genesis, if y'all been listening to Miss Mac talk about creation, y'all have had some lessons on creation, right? Is that true, Desiree? Help me out. Okay. Jacob, has Miss Mac been doing some lessons on creation, the very beginning where everything began? Well, we know in the beginning everything God created was absolutely perfect. God doesn't create flawed mess. God doesn't create things that are messed up and perverted in any kind of way. God creates everything for beauty. When you look at the way the earth originally was, it was absolutely gorgeous. It was just beautiful. There were no thorns or thistles. You could walk around barefoot all you wanted. Some of you, because y'all like to go barefoot. Boy, when I was a kid growing up, I remember at the end of May, as soon as school was out, our shoes came off for the summer. I mean for the summer. And my dad was kind of a fanatic about the grass in our yard. It was just like walking on carpet. So all the kids in the neighborhood always wanted to play in our backyard because we were all barefoot. And we had a swing set and a slide, and that helped out too. And my mom was the Kool-Aid mom. So anyway, I'm just saying, everything that God created, though, nothing was there that would hurt you. There was nothing there that would hurt you. There were no carnivores in the beginning. They all ate the vegetation. A lot of people say, well, look how God made them where they could. No, God didn't make them that way. They didn't need those teeth. They didn't need canine teeth. There was no death. There was no destruction whatsoever in that garden. And so everything was beautiful, everything God made. And we know he made Adam and Eve, and he gave them dominion over all this creation. They never had a cross word. Nobody was trying to be anybody special. They walked in the very glory of God. They knew God was in charge. It was real simple. And they didn't argue. They didn't fight. They were never sad. To be sad about what? Because, see, we have a hard time imagining a life where sin has never come in to destroy anything. We have a hard time. It's hard for our brain to wrap around that. What do you mean nobody? Well, I mean, who was in charge? Well, God was. The same one we have now. God was in charge. So we look at everything that God made, and it was for their enjoyment. It was a beautiful sky. You know, have you ever looked up and see the shining stars at night? Jacob, you ever look up and see how bright those stars are, how pretty they are? God put those there for you to be able to look at. He put them there for us. It's like the canvas. The heavens are like a canvas, and God put that moon. Do you ever like to look up at the moon, you guys, and see, is it a full moon or is it just part? Do you like to see when there's a full moon out? Isn't it bright how it glows and how beautiful it is? God put that there for us just to enjoy. All the things that God made was for their enjoyment. And then he put them in charge of everything he made. It says, and he gave them dominion. He gave them the dominion. And he was talking to the first two people that were ever made. That was the only ones that were there. So he gave them dominion. Well, we know that God, from the very beginning, had plans for a wonderful life for humanity where there was no sorrow, there was no sickness, nobody ever got sick. There was no such thing. And then we know what happened. Whoa. Sin, when Adam and Eve, these brilliant people, they were the most brilliant people who have ever walked the face of the earth. Scientists say we only use about 10 to 15% of our brain. And the way we all act, I think that's true. I can speak for myself. In days gone by, I think that's true. We only use a little bit of our brain. Adam and Eve, since there was no sin, they had the full capacity of their whole brain. Nothing impeded them. Nothing hindered them from being able to think and all these kinds of things. Well, but what happened? Well, I think they were naive. The only problem they had is they were a bit naive because they'd never dealt with evil. That concept, they'd never seen anybody die. There was no death. The Bible says sin is the result of death. Death is the result of sin. I'm sorry. Death is the result of sin. So they had never seen that. So when God said, you'll surely die, You know, they'd never seen a person die. So there were some things that they were a little bit naive about learning. But we see, though, that when they disobeyed God, has anybody in here ever disobeyed? Okay, come on, you adults. Come on. Let's don't be hypocrites here. Okay. So there are times when we have not obeyed God. Well, this is what Adam and Eve did. They disobeyed God. They just flat out listened to what the devil had to say. And what the devil did was he told them that what God had said wasn't real, wasn't really true. And in effect, he called God a liar. You know, a liar will call somebody else a liar quicker than an honest person will. Are you aware of that? We tend to project our own faults onto other people. And so that's what brought sin and yucky stuff on the planet. We have thorns and thistles. Has anybody ever had a thorn? You prick your finger, or a sticker, like sticker bushes? Yes, Desiree has. Boy, I have. We've got a sticker bush right in the front. And I can't tell how many times I've been getting off my bicycle and backed right up into that bush, that sticker bush. So I need to trim it back, don't I? But it brought misery. Sin brought pain. Adam and Eve never had aches and pains. They didn't know what that was, because all of that is the result of sin. They had perfect harmony because they just thought like God thought. But the one thing that God gave them was choice, the power to choose. And when they exercised the power of choice, sin came and destruction came with it. That's the way it always happens. Today, we still have the power of choice. Even the angels had the power of choice. God doesn't make us do anything. We choose everything. Our life is a product of what we just keep choosing to do over and over. It really is. But we can come into the life of Jesus, and our lives can change. I know my life over the years has changed radically, just radically over the years, over just spending time in the Word and with Jesus and hearing what He has to say for people. His will is always just like it was in Genesis 1 and 2, not 3 on, 1 and 2. And when you read the scriptures, you have to always read it in light of what was God's perfect will in Genesis 1 and 2. The one He blessed, the one He said, this is very good. He never says those words again. He never says that again. Well, then you have to look at what that was. This is God's will for us. Now, when Jesus came into the earth, we know that He was sent from God, God the Father. Jesus was the Word of God. He was sent here to restore us to Genesis 1 and 2, where we now have dominion. I have dominion. D has dominion. It's given to people. Everybody had the same dominion. You go back and read it, Genesis 1, 26 or 28. And it was because there were no hassles with that. Everybody just wanted to be on the page with God. Well, through Jesus, we've been restored to that mindset. Isn't that beautiful? I just want to be on the page with God. I love God. I want to serve people. He loves God. He wants to serve. And so we just do that together. Isn't that beautiful? And that's like Adam and Eve had in the garden. And then we exercise dominion over whatever we need to. Sometimes I'm coming against stuff He didn't even know I'm even doing. It doesn't matter. It's whatever God has laid on my heart, and then whatever God lays on His heart, He exercises dominion over. Do you understand what I'm saying? But it can be our kids. It can be some of you. When I'm praying for you, I'm in the forces of whatever, just like you are. But we can exercise that dominion. Okay. So everything was great. Jesus came and He was the light of the world. Did people know He was light? They didn't seem to. People didn't recognize Jesus for who He was. He didn't look the type. He didn't look like a king. He didn't look the type. And so they, in their hearts, disqualified Him. In their hearts. Prejudice is a horrible thing. It's revolting to God, by the way. It's absolutely revolting to God. Anytime we decide somebody is less than another person for any reason whatsoever, because of race, gender, our backgrounds, It's a stench to God. It's a stench to God. And Jesus, when he was born, he was just a simple carpenter. His dad was a carpenter. He was learning to do carpentry. He had a family. He had brothers and he had sisters. Jesus was not an only child. Had a lot of responsibility in that particular culture about what he was supposed to do. He actually was the one who was supposed to have taken over his father's business. So can you imagine people saying, what is he doing traipsing around the country? And I know I've said this before, it was kind of like Robin Hood and his merry band. He's just traipsing around. Who does he think he is? What does he think he is? He was the light of the world. He was light in the midst of darkness. We live in the midst of darkness today. Darkness exists because people's hearts are dark. Light exists when people's hearts are full of light. Why? How do I know that? Because Jesus then said, you are the light of the world. When he comes to indwell us as believers, we become the light that people need to see. And then they need to hear what we have to say. And then they need to imitate some things that we're doing in our lives that are right, that are godly, that are holy, that are clean living. Turn, if you would, to John 3:16. And I'm going to see if some of our kids actually know this Bible verse. Have y'all ever heard John 3:16? John 3:16? Let me read it, and I'm going to see if you remember this one, Jacob. I'm going to read it. You see if you remember it. It's a very familiar verse. I'm going to start in 16, but I'm going to read 17 and 18, too, because nobody ever reads that, and those are powerful verses. It says, for God so loved the world that he gave the one and only Son, his one and only Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Jesus will never come to condemn you. It's not his style. That's not why he came. No matter what you've ever gone through, or what your life has been, Jesus will not come with condemnation. Religion will, but Jesus won't. It's not how he does it. It's not how he does it. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already because they have not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. And what it's saying is, you know, he doesn't come to condemn those that are already condemned. I mean, people who are lost and don't know him, they're already condemned. They're already on their way to a place called hell, which is a place of separation from God forever, and all that is good or beautiful or kind or sweet. You understand what I'm saying? So they live in this dark, dark place. But Jesus had said to us, we are the light of the world, right? So let's just kind of look at some of that a little bit, okay? Let's look in Matthew 5. Verse 14. You are the light of the world. Now that's pretty plain. These are the words of Jesus. Once you're born again, you become the light that people need to see. People don't need to see the worldview. They can hear that on the news or it'll pop up on Facebook. People need to know, is there anybody who really loves Jesus? I mean, for real? There you go. Jacob, there you go. And Mama too. It's a good thing. Yeah. So we want to know, the world wants to know, is this real and will it work for me? And I'm here to tell you, yes, it will, if you're taught the right stuff. You have to be taught the right stuff. The problem in the churches in America for so long, they haven't been taught the truth about redemption. That since there was no sickness, there was no disease, and there was no disharmony in marriage, God's will is that we have no sickness, no disease, and no disharmony in marriage. Well, how does that happen? When you both completely surrender to the lordship of Jesus Christ, you'll be just like this. You'll be just like this. And they've taken some writings in the New Testament that apply to specific people groups for a certain time period under the laws they lived in and try to apply them today. They won't work. Why? Because they weren't for us today, and they weren't in Genesis 1 and 2. Everything in the Bible has to agree with the restoration of what they had in Genesis 1 and 2. Do you understand? And that I know that I have, I know that God always wants to heal me. I don't have to wonder. I know he wants to. Why? Because he showed me in Genesis 1 and 2, that's his will. That's his will. You understand what I'm saying? And I know that as I draw close to him, I am more patient with people. I know that as I draw close to him, we're close. So it's not a struggle. It's not a struggle of me trying to get him to do something or him trying to get me to do something. We don't even live that way. We just don't live that way. Because we both know we each have one Lord, and it's Jesus, just like in Genesis 1 and 2. And I know people have lived this way for years, and they do great. The divorce rate in the church is just as high as the world. Why? Because we keep trying to apply some things that were for a specific group of people, and a lot of people have never even read any history to even understand what it is. So ignorance is not bliss. Ignorance can mess you up. For your whole life, it can mess up your marriage. It can mess up where you go, what you do. And then people become disillusioned. People in church are very disillusioned because they say, I can't get this to work for me. It works for whoever believes. But you can't combine all this other stuff and then try to shove that into God's will as if it was there in the beginning, because it won't go. It won't go. It's just like, you know, if you're going to make a business deal or something, you know, at the office, he doesn't, for one thing, he doesn't wear sandals. So we're already not scriptural. I'm just saying, we're already out the loop. So he wouldn't take off his sandal and hand it to somebody to seal the deal. No, we don't do things like that now. But if you were saying, yeah, but it says right here, this is how you're supposed to do it, and you don't understand Genesis 1 and 2, you understand what I'm saying? Then everything gets to be crazy. Where now you're trying to do some performance thing. That concept was foreign to Adam and Eve. What do you mean perform? They didn't have any questions about who they were. They knew who they were. They were comfortable with who they were. Until sin. And then the first thing they did was one, run and hide. And they felt shame, and they weren't sure of who they were anymore. See, I think the church keeps trying to tell people who they are, bypassing Genesis 1 and 2 the whole time they're doing it. If you bypass Genesis 1 and 2, people never know who they really are. They never know the freedom that God meant for them to actually enjoy. Just enjoy. You understand what I'm saying? It brings hardship. So we see here, though, look at this in Matthew 5. Look in 14. You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. He said, and there's some things that are supposed to be obvious. Did you know that we're supposed to be obvious? We're supposed to be obviously different than the world system and the way the world goes about doing things. We're supposed to be different than what religion is about. Jesus did not conform to the religious ideations of his day. He said, these are just man-made rules. You're following traditions, the traditions of your fathers. It's just tradition. And there may have been time when it served a purpose, but when you try to take something back past the time period that it was written or the people it was written for, and then you try to shove that into American life, it won't work. It won't work. And Jesus, I mean, he broke their rules. He broke all the rules, all the social rules. He talked to a woman at the well. Jewish men did not speak to women in public. It was unheard of. He broke the rules. And then they said, your disciples, they don't even wash. Well, they did. They didn't do this ceremonial washing that had become a tradition that some guy decided was a good idea. Oh, that's how we ought to all do it. And we'll impose this on everybody else and make them do it this way. And if they don't, we'll say you're not godly. Come on, come on, come on. And Jesus, did he change what he was doing so that they would all be happy about it? Absolutely not. Why? It's for freedom that Christ came to set us free. Do not allow yourself to be entangled again with a yoke of slavery. Again, to fear. And it was always the fear of people. The biggest fear you'll ever deal with is people. We're afraid of letting people down. We're afraid of the look of disappointment in their face. And maybe things we've done or where we've been or whatever. But it's this whole shame thing that comes again. Shame doesn't do anything to help you. Jesus won't come and make you feel shame. Jesus comes to lift you. Jesus comes to help you. Jesus comes to encourage you. He doesn't come to make you feel like you're nothing when here he's died for you, and his value that he's placed on your life is huge. His life proves that you're worth everything to him. You're worth everything to him. Man-made traditions. Watch out for traditions. Learn where they came from. Who were they for? Study. I went to a library. I homeschooled my kids for 8 years. And we would go to the library. Do any of y'all ever go to the library? Kids, y'all ever go to the library? Desiree? Jacob? Y'all okay? I love the library. And I took my kids. Every week we would go to the library. And I let them check out a book. And there were some things I was wanting to study and learn. So I would go check out some books. I wanted to know, because I know timelines are huge when you're studying history. And I wanted to know what were a lot of the laws that governed family life under Roman rule. What were these? And they had to obey the laws of the land. They had to pay the taxes. There were a lot of laws they had to obey that were under Roman rule. The whole ministry of Paul and the whole ministry of Jesus Christ. So the admonition for us as Christians is obey the laws of the land. What if they're unfair? Obey the laws of the land. What if they're unjust? Obey the laws of the land. And be a witness for Jesus. Be light. And if you could be enough light, that may change some of those laws that are unjust and unfair. You understand? They didn't want to pay taxes to Rome. Are you kidding me? They couldn't stand being under Roman rule. They hated it. They despised it. They wanted to be free. And they thought Jesus was going to be the one to come set us free and establish his big kingdom. And when they thought of kingdom, they only thought of what they knew as kingdom. This is what people do today. They read the Bible and they read it through lens of either what they've already been taught it was or something that they can relate to in their culture. There's a lot of things that people preach today nobody can even relate to. They can't even relate to that. What are you talking about? It's time dated. Yeah, there's some things that are eternal. They're in Genesis 1 and 2. In Genesis 1 and 2, right? And they're also in and contained within the very ministry of Jesus. Those are your two markers. Does it go along with Genesis 1 and 2? And is this in the ministry of Jesus? This is love your enemies. A servant will not be above his master, but a servant will be like his master. Right? There are a lot of things that Jesus said. Jesus is the bar. There's not another one. My husband is precious and wonderful as he is not the bar for my life. He's not my Lord. I had Jesus before I met him. I don't move Jesus out of that slot. I've heard people say, well, it's God first, and then your marriage or family, whatever, and then other people. No, Jesus is always first. Jesus is always first. Always. Because if Jesus is first, then he will want me to serve my family. If Jesus is first, he will want me to be loving to my family. If Jesus is first, I'll be praying for my family. If Jesus is really first, I will care about my friends and what they're going through. If Jesus is really, y'all follow what I'm saying? But if I try to do a performance thing, I'm not being led by Jesus at all. I'm just doing stuff because I think this is what I have to do to be okay. Thumping it out day in and day out. How boring is that? But in my life, everything I do as unto the Lord. Isn't that easy? Is that so simple? Only religion could make it so messed up. I love this. You're the light of the world. You're the light. You're the light people need to see. So many Christians don't even have joy. They have no joy. They're so burdened down, they have no joy. No joy. Jesus says in Matthew 4, and I go to Matthew 4, 19. That's my last little scripture here, because I need my kids to help me do something here in just a minute. In Matthew 4, 19. Come follow me, Jesus said, and I will send you out to fish for people. Can you imagine that thing? Now, this is when he was choosing disciples, and he had been talking to Peter and Andrew. And he said, come follow me. I'll send you out to fish for people. They were fishermen. And back in that day, they caught fish with their nets. And some people still do. But the average everyday person that just goes fishing, like Mr. Gene is at Martin Creek today, enjoying some out time because Mackie's out of town. And so, you know, my deal was, well, catch a big one, you know, while you're out there today. Enjoy some rest. And so, but it's like, when you think of just going, how do you fish for people? We want to talk about that. That's what we want to talk about that a little bit today. Because it matters. I need all the lights. Can you help me with my lights, baby, please? Thank you, honey. I wanted us to look at something today. Hang on just a minute. And I need all the lights off. I need all those off. Mm-hmm. I want them out. We're not fixing to watch a movie. Don't get excited. But we're... This is not Tinseltown. You've heard me say that before. Okay, now... Let me turn these off. I don't need this. Okay, that's better. It's enough for you to see the point. Now, I'm going to need... Desiree, can you come help me, baby? I'm going to kind of get you to help me with something here. Oh, I love your shoes. Oh, I love that. See, you can see her from everywhere because her shoes were blinging, blinking. Look at that. You're perfect for this. Okay, I am going to get you. Reach up under there. Can you turn that lamp on for me? Can you turn it on? Can you see it? Tell me when it's on. It's up where my hand is. Do you see it? Just press the bell button up there. You see it? There you go. Okay. All right. Now, that light is on. But that's pretty dim the way it is right now, isn't it? You see that? Now, I think this is kind of where a lot of Christians are. It's like, well, I love Jesus. Would you be enough light for somebody to follow? Is that very much light? Mm-hmm. You can't sew with that. I can tell you right now, you can't thread a needle with that thing. You can't cook with that. Everything would be burnt to a crisp. You wouldn't even know it was done until you gagged on the smoke. And Jesus says, though, we're the light of the world. We're the light of the world. Jacob, come help me, baby. Can you come help me? Now, we're going to do this one over here a little bit different. Come, watch that cord, though. You see that cord? Okay. Now, I need you just to kind of take these little covers off. Help me just kind of pull them back. Yeah, I'm going to pull them back. All these little covers. But we want the lamp. We want the lamp to be. Okay. Look at all these. Gosh, look at this. Oh, my gosh. Okay, now turn this one on. Can you turn this one on for me? Just reach up under there. It's a little knobby turn. Up a little higher. Up a little higher. Push it. There it is. Wow. Oh, that came on right in my eye. Okay. Watch your step, of course. Look at there. All right. Now, is there any difference between those lights? Mm-hmm. See, this is what sin does. This is what happens when we're disobedient to God. We say we love Jesus, But we're just kind of doing what we want to do. We are, we're doing the things that the world tells us it's okay to do or not okay to do. And we've just kind of blown off the whole Christian thing. A lot of people are like this when they go to work. Now, when they're at church, they're like this, and they're jumping around. But when they get to wherever they work, where does the light go? See? Okay, now let me ask you this. Have you ever, has anybody in here ever been sick? You've ever had, so people have been sick before. Have you ever had some of your classmates and they were sick and you missed them? You know, they said, well, where's so-and-so? Well, he's out sick today. Have y'all ever heard things like that in school? Did you know that you could be a light for that person and you could be the person to pray for them to be well? Because when Jesus comes to indwell us and he comes in our heart, he also empowers us to live a different life. He empowers us to change. He doesn't zap you to change. It doesn't fall in your lap. You believe him for it. It's called faith. Why? Because he said he would. And then you renew your mind. That is how you change. You don't change because you go to church. You get inspired when you go to church, but you don't change. You change when you say, I know I need to make some changes. Now, God, you've already given me the Holy Spirit. I'm baptized in the Holy Ghost. I'm a Pentecostal girl. Okay? So I can pray in tongues. I can pray things I don't even understand. But he does, because he's praying it through me. And I can pray for other people, and I can pray for myself, and I can say, I know that this light is inside of me. Why am I not brighter? Where's my glow? Where's my shine? It's kind of like when you look up at the stars in the sky, but it's foggy. You can't see them. You can't see those beautiful lights that God created for us to look at when there's this thick fog like we had. What, night before last? Oh my goodness, we were driving home and I couldn't see anything. And so, but we don't want to be like that. Jesus said, let your light shine. Ooh, the you there is understood. That means you let your light shine. Well, what are we doing so it doesn't shine? If our light isn't shining, it's because of us. It's not because of Jesus. He's the same. He didn't go anywhere. He's always with me. Well, am I keeping him covered up? Do I keep him covered up? Do I shield myself from his light? Because it's just too much trouble, or I'm too confused because of stuff I've been taught that isn't really his application. You understand what I'm saying? See, religion will keep you right here. That's what religion does. It'll keep you right there. You will have given your life to Jesus, but it doesn't work for you. It doesn't work for you because you're expecting him to do everything while you just passively pray that he will. It doesn't work that way. I'm just telling you, I'm honest. I'll tell you, it won't work. I can tell you all the things that won't work because I already did those before I came to Jesus and made him actually Lord of my life. He was my Savior. He wasn't Lord. There's a difference. I don't think that we're really right with God until he's the Lord of our life, personally. I don't see how that's possible. Because that means you're still in charge and you're still doing what you want to do. How can your life be right with God? You say, well, I know Jesus and I gave my heart to Jesus. If Jesus has your heart, he has your life. If Jesus has your heart, he's Lord of your life. So, don't you want to be the light? How can you be light? Well, for one thing, you can quit griping and complaining. Because that's what the world does. It's like everything the world does, you stop doing. And then you ask the Lord, well, if I'm not doing that, what am I supposed to do with my life? He'll tell you. He said, my sheep know my voice. He talks to us. He'll tell you is what he'll do. And so when you're in your workplace, if you're griping as much as everybody else, you're not light. We want to be light. I want to be light, right? You could smile more. Some of you don't smile unless somebody smiles at you first. Be the first person to smile. We have a lot to smile about. I was on my way to hell at one time, and I'm not anymore. that's enough for me just right there. Oh, you couldn't even talk me out of that. You understand? Well, what about if I offer to pray for people? Would I be light if you offer to pray for people? Isn't that the light of Jesus? See, if he's the bar, if he's the standard, then I can't accept anything lower than him for my life. There is not another standard but Jesus for me. Why? Because there's not another standard in the Bible. Even Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. They only follow me if I'm really doing what Christ does. If I only say things like Christ says, then okay. You understand what I'm saying? And so this is the light. But wouldn't it be awesome? Can you see how awesome it would be? Where's Hudson? Come help me, baby. You want to come up here? Come up here. You can come right up on this step. Right up here. There you go. There you go. Okay, now we need to take all this off. Can you help me? There you go. We're going to take all this. See all this stuff? There you go. Oh, good. Thank you. All right. He's got it going. And this one. Is there another one? Oh, we got another one. Look at there. We got another one. We want this light to show up. Okay. There you go. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Okay, very good. Okay, watch your step. Thank you, thank you. Watch your step. Good job, good job. All our kids, okay. All right, so wouldn't it be awesome if now when you go to the office, since you prayed for that person, even though at first they were maybe apprehensive, but you kept smiling, you were so friendly. You were in a good mood. You'd spent time with the Lord that morning. You'd been praying for your coworker. You were mindful of your attitude. Well, when they get saved, now there's two of you in that office. See? Why? Because Jesus said you're light of the world. Well, why do you need to be a light? Okay, can you turn my lights back on now, babe? Where's my... Bonnie, come help me. Where's the stuff? Okay. So now, remember when Jesus... Is this it, Bonnie? Good idea. Okay, thank you. Okay, now Jesus, remember he had called Peter, remember he had called him and Andrew and said, come follow me and I'm going to have you go fish for people. Can you imagine putting this in the water? Here, look at this, Jacob. Here, come out here. Now these are Miss Bonnie's and these are her pride and joy. But hold on to it. Hold on to it. Leave that. Yeah, just hold on to this part. You won't need that right now. We're pretending we're pole fishing. Has anybody ever just been pole fishing? Okay, when you were a kid. Okay, Hudson, you want to do this one? This was she brought a little one. Now, we got some fishermen in this church. Miss Bonnie's one of them. Okay, all right. Now just hold it. Okay, now you're gonna fish. Now y'all are fishing out of a pond. Now, what about what Jesus said? He says, I'm going to cause you to fish for people. Now, if you were going to go catch a big fish and it's actually a person, go pick somebody in this room. Say, I'm going to go fishing for you. Who would it be? Pick somebody. You got to pick somebody. You're going to, okay. Take it over to Mama then. Hold it over there where Mama is. There you go. All right, so now, Hudson, you need to pick somebody. Who do you want? You want to go fishing for somebody. If you're going to pull them up out of the water, who would it be? Oh, okay, well, come over. Let's go over this way. Yeah, I figured that. Okay. He's going to go pull you up out of the water. Now, see what happens. Now, just hold the very end of that real carefully. Lower it where she can get it. Now, easy, Jacob. Okay, the bait. All right, now don't pull it off. Just like pretend you're the fish. But don't hold too tight. There is a hook up in that thing. Yeah. So, Jacob, keep it low for her. Keep it low. Thank you, baby. We want Miss Bonnie's thing to get back to her in one piece. All right. So, this is what Jesus is telling us to do. He said, you know, you go fishing. You go off to a lake, whatever. But what about the people? Because you could actually fish for people. And what that means is you have something that they want, and they'll latch onto that bait. Let me tell you, thank you, baby. Let me tell you what the bait is. Thank you, Hudson. Good job, buddy. Thank you, Jacob. Good job. So what is the bait that Jesus has that people need? What do people need? What do people really, what are they looking for? Love. The bait people need is love. But we have to know how to love the way Jesus loves. And what that means sometimes is you'll have to hang in there a long time with some people. Jacob, sit down. Thank you. Thank you. That's a big boy. Big boys know how to sit down. So we know that that's what people want. I know when I came to the Lord, I needed kindness. Well, love is kindness. Love is kind. It's not selfish, not easily offended. First Corinthians 13. That whole love chapter. And if you look at the ministry of Jesus, he demonstrated what people need. He knew how to meet their need. To the hungry, he fed them something. To the weary, he gave encouragement. To the cripples, he healed them. So this is when Paul said, I've become all things to all men that they might be saved. What is their need? I'll shift love over in that direction. Isn't that powerful? Y'all stand up, please. So kids, what we're talking about today is the way God wanted everything in the very beginning, how beautiful it was. But when they believed the devil instead of what God had said, everything got to be a mess. And that's why you get stickers in your feet sometimes in the summer when you're barefoot. Yep. They ruined the yard. They did. They ruined the whole yard over the whole planet. That's what they did. But that through Jesus, we can be restored. Now, the earth is still not restored, but we can be. Positionally and in terms of the authority that Jesus gave every single believer. Every single believer. And I tell people, we have the same Jesus. D has Jesus. I have Jesus. We have the same authority. We can come in sickness, disease, stuff with our kids, finances, whatever it is. If you have Jesus, he said, you've been made complete in him, lacking no thing. So when Jesus becomes the focal point of your life instead of religious ideations, and you're ready to live life the Jesus way, your life changes. Amen? Amen? And we want to be light. We want to be the people that other people can come to and say, there's just something about them. There's just something about them. And whatever that is, I want to get to know whatever that is. That's bait. That's bait. And it's because you are so in love with Jesus that you don't live in shame, you don't live in guilt, you don't live in condemnation. And when you don't live in that, you also don't put that on other people. You don't live in depression, so you don't put that on other people, say things to make them feel depressed. You understand what I'm saying? Because whatever we are is what we put on other people. If we're angry, we think everybody's always mad all the time. I'm telling you the truth. If we have issues with rejection, we think everybody's against us. Well, that's not true. How grandiose can we be? Everybody? Most people don't care. I mean, I just think sometimes we have these thoughts in our head as if all that's true, but it isn't. It means we've been hurt, we've been injured in some way. Oh, I know the best repair person ever, and it's Jesus. Yep. He knows how to fix. He knows how to make all things new. He doesn't just fix and repair, you know, where it's sort of okay. He wants us completely restored. And I don't know about you, but I'm after that. I mean, in every way, in everything that ever went wrong, he wants to make it right. In our own heart and in our mind, the way we think. Because the way we were thinking is what causes the problems to begin with. It's not all those people. It's not all those people. If anybody could have a victim mentality, and we would agree he should, it would be Jesus. But you know, he never did. His family thought he was crazy. People abandoned him all the time. And yet he was the authority over the whole earth. But he never did go around like that, did he? He didn't say, well, you should listen to me. I mean, I'm in charge. That's a person who is not in charge. That's a person who doesn't even understand what that means. You understand what I'm saying? So I love Jesus the way he does. And so when we treat people like Jesus treated people, they will respond to him. They don't need me. They need him. They need him. But we're here representing him as light. Jesus said, as the Father has sent me, I'm sending you. In the same way God sent me, so that when people saw my light, this is Jesus speaking, they would know what God is like. In the same way, I'm sending you out so that when people are around you, they can know what I'm like. Isn't that rich? Don't you just love Jesus today? I'm telling you, Jesus deserves all glory and all praise. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for your goodness, your kindness. I thank you so much. I thank you the kids were able to be in here with us today. And I just pray, God, that these seeds that we planted in their little hearts will sprout and produce, and that they will pray for their friends and people at school going through hard things. Some kids are going through terrible things, and they need that kindness. They need that love so much. We have grown-ups. We're all kids at heart. Wounds that go way back, way back. Oh, God, you're such a mighty deliverer. Thank you for helping us. Open our minds to receive and actually believe you, God. Believe your words, because you have the words of life. You have everything we need. Everything we need, it really is in you. It's true. It really is in you. And I just give you praise and glory and honor. Now, if you're here this morning, just keep your eyes closed. If you're here this morning and you don't really know Jesus, you don't really know him. You've never really gotten to know him. This is for the adults and the kids too. You've never really gotten to know Jesus, but you want to know Jesus. Just raise your hand. Thank you. Anybody else? Anybody else? You can know Jesus. You can invite Jesus into your heart. Have you ever done that? Would you like to do that? Okay, can you come up here with me? Y'all just pray quietly for a minute, please. You know who Jesus is? You understand who he is? Do you know that he was God and he took on the form of a person and he died for you? For sins? That means all the things we do that we know are not right. The things like when we disobey, or we tell a little lie or something. Those kinds of things, those are sins. And Jesus came for you because he loves you so much and he thinks you're wonderful. And he said, I'll give you my life, and I'll take away all the sin. I'll take it off your record completely. It's kind of like if you made all F's on a report card, and somebody came in and said, I have all A's. I'm going to give you my report card. You give me those. Wouldn't that be awesome? That's what Jesus did for us. Our report card was really bad because we kept messing up. We just didn't get it. But Jesus came, and he was perfect. And you can ask him into your heart today. You want to do that? You want to do that today? Okay. Say, Jesus, I give you my life. And I want to serve you, Jesus. Thank you for forgiving me of my sin. I love you, Jesus. And I'm going to serve you, Jesus. Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. I got a little brother. He's so precious. What a sweetheart. And see, so they're so open. When I came to the Lord, I was 7 years old. Coming to God is very abstract. But I'm telling you, and it was in my heart, God will be faithful. How old are you, Jacob? 5. God will be faithful to that 5-year-old that felt that in his heart today. God was faithful to me. I was a 7-year-old, and I went through all kinds of sheer hell as an adult. But God was faithful to that 7-year-old little girl down inside of me that wanted Jesus, and I believed I believed as a 7-year-old that it was true, even though I didn't understand all the abstract stuff of it. And then when I was 28 years old, I made Jesus Lord of my life, and that's when everything was just whoosh. And from then on, I've never been the same. Never been the same. You understand what I'm saying, Mama? Okay. So this is where you come in, Mama. You teach and you train and you learn. You learn about Genesis 1 and 2. You learn truth. Yeah. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. God, you know, the angels are rejoicing right now. And they're excited. They're excited for hearts that are tender toward Him. Amen. Amen. Well, y'all have a very blessed week. Have a very blessed week. Don't forget Monday night prayer, our women's fellowship Saturday, Thursday night Bible study.